Are the Saints for real?
Amen.
Two weeks in, man, I'm watching the Saints, and I'm like, this looks like a completely different offense. Now, it is with Clint Kubiak, but just from a Carr standpoint, and listen, Jason, I think we both agree. Carr, for us, we're like this, right? And my hand's going up and down. There are times I go, well, that was great, and then there are more times that I go, well, he wasn't great. But he's played really well, and they're executing like crazy. Are the Saints for real now that they're 2-0 and blowing teams out the way they have?
I'm not ready to crown them. I need to see more. Carolina's a JV team right now. And, yep. And look, I think Dallas is fugazi. Like, I didn't have Dallas in the playoffs. Like, I'm not – I don't think Mike Zimmer's coming in with some magic elixir. Like, you can run the ball on them. And I don't buy – they can't run the ball a lick. So I'm slowing my roll on the Saints. But – it looks like Kamara's back, and it looks like this offensive line is pretty adept at run blocking. And if they've got that with this Kubiak / Shanahan play action pass game, which, you know, Carr is excelling at right now, it's the combination of violence and brutality in the run game and the ability to gut you with the deep ball and play action. Like, that's kind of tried and true. You know, the defense has been solid for several years now. I think the division's a lot better, though, Carl. Like,
I do too. Like, I do too.
You know, Tampa didn't have its secondary last week, and it still won at Detroit. Like, we just talked about Atlanta. Like, they're pretty legit. Carolina, all right, they might not win a game. Like, they're really, really bad. But everybody else in the division gets to beat up on Carolina, too. So I want to see, like, I have a hard time buying, to your point about this, consistency from Dennis Allen and consistency from Derek Carr. I'm a skeptic on that, you know, on them proving to be guys who can stay at this level more weeks than not. Maybe this is the year it's all coming together for them. But I'm not anointing them. I'm not going to tell you that I think they're definitely winning that division or even that they're definitely going to the playoffs. But it's a hell of a start. I mean,
it is
91 points. I think the next high scoring team is at Arizona with 67. It's a hell of a start. I mean, you got a plus 60 scoring margin through 2 weeks. You're living right. And that game with the Eagles will be interesting because, like, if they can gut the Eagles on the ground the way I think they might be able to, then that's going to open some stuff up.
What about the Cardinals? I mean, we talk about surprises. They go in, or they're at home. They beat the hell out of the Rams, which I didn't expect. Listen, Marvin Harrison Jr. complained after week one, which he should have. And then, you know, Kyler Murray was like, yeah, you know, we'll get him the ball, whatever the hell he said. And then the kid goes off in one quarter, and you're like, holy crap. But the Cardinals, man, I mean, listen, Kyler Murray, for everything he's not, he has always been a playmaker, right? He just makes plays. And I think, to me, outside of that Ravens game this week, that was the other surprise, Jason, the way they handled the Rams.
Oh, yeah. Now, they may have caught the Rams at the absolute perfect time because I think the game plan for the Rams was those guys can't stop the run. Our offensive line is totally makeshift. We don't even know half these guys. Let's try to road grade them. And then it's 21-3, like 8 minutes in, and so that's out the window, and then the whole thing snowballed. But Sean McVay had their number forever. And even the Rams being dealt a bad hand from the injury standpoint, I still thought they'd make this a competitive game. Now, losing Cooper Kupp like they did too. Like, so now there's no Nacua, there's no Kupp, there's no offensive line, and we got to throw the ball because we're down three scores in the first half. So it was the perfect storm. What I want to see from Arizona is handling success. Like, I'm way more inclined to back Kyler Murray as the underdog and when he's getting crapped on than I am him as the favorite, or in this case, the line moving significantly in Cardinals' favor from the original look ahead to where it was Sunday night, right? Like, he's only a 2.5-point underdog to a team that could have gone to the Super Bowl last year. So, like, how do they handle that? Like, what does it look like the following week? Like, that's a Lions team that's going to be pissed off about the way they lost that game. Dan Campbell taking accountability for having, not just 11, 12, or 13, seemingly 19 guys on the field at once. That cost them 3 points. So like, you know what I mean, Carl? Like, I need to see this, like, with some consistency. Like, I think the Lions are going to say, you know what? We've been getting a little too cute. We're going to run Gibbs 18 times. We're going to run, you know, Montgomery 15, 16 times. And let's see how that Arizona defense holds up. So, for them, that was a signature win. But again, I think they caught the Rams at an incredibly compromised time. Then the Rams lose their best defensive back. Like, so we'll see. It sets up a very interesting Rams 49ers game where whoever loses that, it's kind of like that Baltimore Dallas game. Whoever loses that is starting to look around saying, "Is this what I didn't think we signed up for this?" And if Arizona, go prove me wrong. Like, I'm a skeptic on you. Like, I think you're going to get manhandled a little bit in the trenches this week. If you don't, if you're not, you win this game, then you know what? I thought somebody other than San Francisco was coming out of the West. Like, they win this game? Like, maybe it might be, Mike McDonald, it might be you. You know, hey, Kyler, it might be you. Like, hey, even Stafford and McVay, it still might be you if you win this game. But I think that division was going to be way more wide open than it's been the last few years, where people have basically, you know, anointed San Francisco from day one.
Follow us in the huddle. He's Jason Lock on four. I'm Carl Dukes. Brian Baldinger, part of this podcast. Thursday, we'll break Baldy's breakdowns and some of the stuff that we're talking about with the O-lines, D-lines, and get his opinion on some of this stuff. You know, if you take care of the football and you don't make mistakes, you win in this league. And that's what happened with the Packers without Jordan Love. I have no faith in Malik Willis simply because he just hasn't played enough. But the kid is 12 of 14. He doesn't turn it over. He throws a touchdown, and the Packers get 3 turnovers from Anthony Richardson, and they win the game. Jason, this was another one where you went, okay, what's this going to look like without Love? Just take care of the football, and the Packers did that.
Well, and look, it could have been, probably should have been an even more emphatic win. You know, Jacobs fumbles a ball where he's going in to score. But like, they played rugby. Like, they got old school. Like, I love Josh Jacobs over his scrimmage yards in this game. I thought he might catch more balls than he did. But, I mean, he had like 100 yards rushing by the middle of the second quarter. And the Colts can't stop the run. And Green Bay just leaned into their ability to bend them to their will on the ground. And they stuck with it. And they ran the Colts out of the building, and then the Colts had to kind of try to score 2 touchdowns at once and chuck the ball around, and it did not bring out the best in Richardson. And you're going to have to deal with some really high highs and some really low lows with that young man, because remember, he barely played in college, and now he hasn't even played a half season of football at the NFL level. So, you know, Colts fans, buckle up. It's going to be a wild ride. But if they're able to keep games relatively close and stay on script, you saw the week before, they gave the Texans all they could handle, despite having issues on defense and not really being able to stop the run. And Mixon running 30 times for 200 yards or whatever it was, that they still had a chance to win that game. And I think most of their games will be that way. And they played 2 really good teams. Like, I mean, like, let's not lose sight of that, right? I mean, people think the Texans could go to the Super Bowl. People think the Packers could go to the Super Bowl. And, yeah, they played him without Jordan Love, but it was still that defense. So we'll see. I'm still excited about the future of Richardson. And, yeah, that's a big win for the Packers. You know, that's a real testament to your coaching staff.
Yeah, it is.
It's like what Belichick would do, right? You reinvent yourself from week to week based on who's available to you and based on who you're playing. And I don't care if this game looks totally different than any of the last 20 we played. That's what we've got to do to win this game. And then we're on to Cincinnati or whoever's next after that. LaFleur's a hell of a coach. He's got a great staff. I think the new defensive coordinator from week to week to week is going to get more and more comfortable at this level and put them in positions to succeed. And the special teams has been so bad for so long that they had to clean that up, and I think they will. So, yeah, a big win for the Packers. Out of the Jordan Love, like, I can't think he plays this week, even though they kind of tried to play that game last week, right, and list him as questionable and all that. I'm not sure he plays this week, especially as well as they played last week running the ball with Jacobs and the quarterback. But I don't think he misses maybe more than one more week, possibly 2. And if they tread water there, then that's a huge shot in the arm going into October, getting their quarterback back.